Welcome to the Trending Show. Here's your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Welcome, one and all. I am most certainly the aforementioned Mike Quackenbush, your tour guide through a week of what's been pulling big numbers on the internet. What's been trending since last we spoke? Let me edumacate ya. The most searched item on Monday was Dallas Cowboys. They are a football squadron from the state of Texas, which is a lot warmer this time of year than Illinois, the home state of the Chicago Bears, a rival unit. On Monday night, the Cowboys were defeated by the Bears, which is simply natural selection at work. The strongest survive. A team of well-trained Bears are always going to beat a team of Cowboys, or for that matter, a team of Patriots, Rams, or Colts. Now, I would hate for pure logic to influence anyone's office pool, but those things are no good against Bears. And as long as Falcons, Eagles, Cardinals, and Jets stay in the air, the Bears are no big deal. What beats Bears, you may wonder? Well, here comes my expert NHL analysis. Giants beat Bears. They just look like fuzzy toys to Giants. Vikings beat Bears, too. Vikings are crazy, and that's based almost entirely on characters I know from comics and the Berserker from the World Wrestling Federation. Who should not fight Bears? Saints should not fight Bears. They're genuflecting and doing the whole "we aren't worthy" routine, and all of a sudden, bear attack. Steelers, which is Pittsburgh slang for muggers, do not beat Bears. You ask a bear for its wallet, you are getting mauled. Don't bet on Redskins, which you may know is an insensitive and extremely callous euphemism for hemophiliacs. And don't bet on Packers or Buccaneers, which were both named in an age before it was acceptable to be openly gay. Jury remains out on the Browns, hard to stereotype in a post-civil rights America, and the Texans, seems just like the Cowboys, but with unkempt mustaches. This week's trending show is sponsored by Cobra Electronics, and I'm going to tell you more about their gadgets, gizmos, and groovy gifts a little later in this program. Monday also saw Pirate Bay trending, which is neither a Disney attraction nor a Harlequin romance. Pirate Bay is a torrent site, or, in case my mother is listening, it's a website where kids steal stuff. The Dutch authorities made a move on Pirate Bay pirates showing up in St. Martin, a tiny island somewhere. It used to be under Dutch control, but the Pirate Bay people were wise to this and instead moved their operation to a British-controlled island in the Atlantic, having told Kotaku.com they are looking to set up shop somewhere under the control of the Peruvian government. The article I read on this topic is rather confusing to a Luddite like me. It says that the domain is registered there, but the people that run it are not physically there. Which I am guessing the kind of people that hunt these thieves down probably knew in advance. It doesn't make sense. There's no one there to arrest. Sending the authorities there is like reasoning that all our nukes are in Soho because of the Manhattan Project. So I googled up St. Martin quick and, oh, now I get it. Oh yeah, the criminals are there, boss. Just send me and my partner and our families there for a few days and we'll bring them right back. Oh, we missed them, chief. Yeah, I think they're going to be in Dubai next week. Can we go there? On Tuesday, a giant lizard attacking Japan and a presidential selfie combined could not match the traffic of women in underwear. Yes, the Victoria's Secret fashion show commanded the internet's attention, and reporters seemed pleased that so many minorities were well represented on the catwalk. One photo I saw was of the Angolan model Maria Borges, who was wearing either a peacock suit, a giant pot leaf, or fish scales, possibly a combination of some of those things. Hidden inside this costume appeared to be red undergarments you can buy at a Victoria's Secret retail store. I don't often find myself in Victoria's Secret, but I am marginally curious about the peacock fish scale combo costume thing. First, I'd like to know what those cost. Second, I want to know the quasi-sexual code name they are giving it. Thirdly, I want to know if anyone not from Angola has worn it. Remember Tila Tequila? Her 15 minutes were up so long ago, I can barely picture her in my head. I didn't have to on Tuesday, though, since she was trending, and most of the articles ran a photo of her to remind me what she looks like. Tila Tequila is a Hitler sympathizer, which is certainly a tough side to take in any debate. My initial instinct on this is to repeat to myself, believe half of what you read and none of what you hear. Or half of what you hear and none of what you read. You know, that quote is easily confused. But I figured Tila Tequila isn't the sharpest tool in the shed. Maybe she said something that was taken out of context, and that's where this is all coming from. Well, then I read Senorita Tequila's blog post about Hitler, and I think we can safely retract the benefit of the doubt we extended to the former reality TV star. Tila Tequila, since being relieved of her duties hosting Pants Off Dance Off, must have become a historical detective, uncovering the truth about the propaganda machine that framed poor Adolf Hitler for that Nazi stuff. In one section, she addresses whiny Jews, and perhaps my favorite line of the whole blog was, "Sure, of course there will be casualties of war," which seems to overlook the fact that no accounts, written or oral, from the last 80 years characterize World War II as being a military struggle between the Jewish community and the Axis powers. Hey, those weren't Jewish military personnel they were making into Soylent Grün at Auschwitz, Tila. Tila Tequila has promised slash threatened more blogs in her Sympathizing with Hitler series, but in the meantime, she'll be focusing on her less controversial social media campaign to have Kim Jong-un ratified as a Catholic saint. We talk about a lot of nut jobs here on The Trending Show, like Tila Tequila and Kim Jong-un, because they are fun to mock, and they don't seem to listen to the program. This show is for more intelligent media consumers, and I know that XBL Fiend is one such listener. I know this because XBL Fiend took to the iTunes store as I requested and left me a 5-star review that reads, "Mike Quackenbush's voice is enthralling and hypnotic. It makes this podcast a true pleasure to listen to." The XBL Fiend has shown more than just intelligence and refinement here, Trendies. You are hereby rechristened XBL Friend of the Trending Show. Speaking of friends and the Trending Show, you know that your sacred mission in the month of December is to tell all your friends about this podcast, right? Help me get the numbers up so the show's sponsors don't let me down in 2014. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobis. You're my only hope. Megyn Kelly is the hostess of The Kelly File, which evinces less creativity than the Dave Matthews Band, but a modicum more than Katie when it comes to clever titles. Recently, and presumably on the show that bears her surname, Megyn said that both Santa and Jesus are white. Following a day or two of being blasted by every news outlet with an audience, Megyn took 15 minutes of her file to get the record balanced. When she said that Santa Claus and Jesus were white, she was joking. She also said that they are typically depicted as being white, so it is easy to see why someone such as her could come to that conclusion about their ethnicity. Kelly then departed for Pandora, a densely forested, habitable moon orbiting the gas giant Polyphemus until her superiors could figure out how to clean that PR mess up. Thursday night, Beyoncé, ex-tambourinist for Destiny's Child, stealthily dropped her new album off at the iTunes store just before they locked the doors. The new album encompasses 14 songs and 17 videos and came as a complete surprise, which seems to have worked. Within 24 hours, it had topped iTunes charts in 100 countries and sold over 80,000 units. That means that on a day when I made around $36, Beyoncé made $360,000. Frustrated by this, I'm going to release a stealth album as well and not tell anyone about it. While Jay-Z is unavailable to produce it, my friend Jay is available. Please do not tell anyone about this album, as it will ruin my chances. It is surprising to me that Friday the 13th was trending on Friday. The page that got the most traffic as a result was NationalGeographic.com, where a page containing no real information offered 3 links to other pages on the site where the data was located. Ah, but it was a trick! In order to view those other pages where the story was located, I'd have to register for the site by giving them my email address. You ever wonder why your inbox gets filled up with junk mail for products and services that you don't want, or find yourself suddenly on a newsletter list for Equestrian Pursuits or Cross Stitch? It's sites like this that take your email address in exchange for access and then sell lists of people's email addresses to third parties to make money. Because if I am looking at National Geographic articles about zebras, I might also like weekly mail blasts about horseback riding, right? The website tabclosedidn'treadreadn't.com strikes out against exactly this sort of crap. And so should we. For the remainder of my time on the Trending Show podcast, I will never cover a story relating to National Geographic. I will cover the top trend of Friday, though, which was Mega Millions, the U.S. lottery and inevitable future supervillain name. The jackpot has now climbed to $550 million. That's the 4th largest in history. If you are able to match all 6 numbers, and no one else manages to do this, you would win the $550 million jackpot less the applicable taxes. These stories often have sidebars accompanying them about the misfortunes of previous lottery winners, those that were awarded incomprehensible sums of money and then squandered or mismanaged the money away. At a first glance, the tales of people that just a few years after winning $100 or $200 million find themselves right back where they started are baffling, right? How do you screw that up? But I think of it like this. If I give a hobo $20 to buy warm socks and a decent meal, there is a very good chance he's going to spend it on booze or drugs, or because a large percentage of the homeless population struggle with different types of mental illnesses, he might eat the money. There are people out there that need money, but have no idea how to manage it, and they're not going to figure out how just because they can fill their swimming pool with it all of a sudden. No one could possibly be prepared for their life to change so dramatically, so quickly. And those rags-to-riches stories often end back at rags because many of the people who become lottery millionaires are dumb. Dumb luck won that money, and dumb behavior then cost them that money. That arc is not perplexing, just predictable. Cobra Electronics is the sponsor of The Trending Show and my other podcast, The Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. They make it possible for podcasts you like to be delivered free of charge. So to keep the cycle of life working the way it should, why not check out Cobra.com for some last-minute gift-giving ideas for the gadget hound or road warrior in your life. Their revamped store has a sleek, cool new design to it and makes shopping even easier. But don't take my word for it. Point your mouse at Cobra.com. Tell all your friends about this podcast. That's your mission in December. A great time to do it is at your company's holiday function. Don't feel awkward about it. And be unabashed in leaving me that 5-star review over in iTunes. I'll accept nothing less. It's like a holiday gift from you to me. Next up is a new Grizz, so join Clayton and I over there for a steaming cup of Joe. Adios, amigos.